Drew, everyone. And do not, if you say your family's perfect, he pictures you vomiting in the bathroom, crying, and then taking some laxatives.
But so, Mackenzie, this is part of that whole syndrome. Is your bulimia been treated?
Yeah, I haven't been doing it for the past 2 years.
Okay. All right. And what is it, how often are you requiring your boyfriend to be physical with you?
Well, recently, it used to be about 5 to 6 times a day, but it's kind of lowered since school. It's like 3 to 4.
Yeah. I have to get one of those crash carts for my penis if I went 5, 6 times a day.
I mean, is it still good after 6 times a day?
Yeah.
Really?
Little tiny paddles.
Each time it's
tiny
good.
Paddles.
I mean, I'm like, we have time off during school, so I take them during time off in his car, and we do it there and stuff.
At school?
In his car.
You know, Mackenzie.
Yeah, but where's the car part?
Off school property.
All right, just on some street?
There's neighborhoods.
Yeah, I know, but okay. On a street, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and during the day?
Yeah.
Wow. Windows, does he have tinting on his windows?
Yeah, he has really dark tinted windows.
Oh, he's smooth.
And he seems to be enjoying it. I mean, he hasn't complained. He just says that it's, like, too much for him.
Yeah, well,
that's a form of complaint, though, isn't it, saying it's too much?
I guess so. I mean, like, he says that it's kind of ruining his reputation.
All right, well, whatever.
As a guy who can walk?
ruining his
reputation.
Yeah.
All right.
Look, Mackenzie, I would still predict something happened to you. This degree of sexual compulsion usually goes along with some sort of sexual abuse. How old were you when you lost your virginity?
I was 17.
Nothing before that. No.
Well, when I was around 15, I was dating an older guy, and he had me do some kinky stuff, but nothing sexual.
How can it be kinky if it's not sexual?
Not like sexual intercourse. Like, I didn't have sex with him.
How old was the guy?
He was 19.
You were 15.
Yeah. Nothing before that, huh?
No. He had me wear his little sister's Catholic school uniform. No.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Nothing with your peers? No, you know, other children you messed around with when you were 7, 8 years old?
No. Never.
All right. Well, a bipolar illness in your family? Manic depression?
Yes.
Okay. Now, are you supposed to be on lithium or Depakote?
No. I'm getting prescribed something.
All right.
Manic depression.
All right. Well, that will settle this down. Tell your boyfriend to hang in there. This may be part of your mania.
Jesus. 5 times a day in the car, you know, during breaks.
That's a rough combo. Eating disorder and bipolar.
Yeah. Eesh. Man.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, it translates into just a ton of poontang for any guys with her. Kenny?
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, see, I'm gay, and I don't want to let my sister know because I'm scared she might kick me out. Because, well, see, the reason I'm living with my sister is because me and my dad got into a lot of physical fights, and I can't live with my mom's because of her job.
What's her job?
She's a relief manager for Motel 6, which means she moves from property to property.
Oh, boy. And, your mom is always on the move. Your dad, and you got into altercations.
Well, when I was littler, he used to abuse me.
Sexually?
No, physically.
Who sexually abused you?
Nobody.
All right.
Well, I feel that.
Oh, it's just because he's gay.
No.
Jumping to that
conclusion. No.
Any sexual abuse, Kenny?
No, there's never been any sexual abuse.
How old were you when you started having sex?
Well, I was about 13.
With a 19-year-old?
How old was the person you had sex with?
Oh, he was 16.
Okay, well, that's getting into the sexual abuse range.
Getting close.
In
yeah. Kenny?
Yeah?
So you're living with your sister.
Mm-hmm.
How old is she?
She's 24.
Uh-huh. What's she do? Nurse?
She works at a mental institution called Rivendell.
Yeah, that's kind of a nurse.
Well, my sister, I don't believe she's the kind of person that should work at a place like that because she'll mess with patients and stuff.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Does she have any kids?
Yeah, she has 2, and she's pregnant with a 3rd.
No! Oh, hold on, I'm locking the coordinates on. How far away does your dad live?
Keep talking.
My dad lives in Alaska. He lives way on the other side of the United States.
That's all right, we can alter our vectors and take out...
and my mom,
without refueling.
Without refueling, yes. We're calling an airstrike in on Kenny's whole family. We're going to nip this one in the bud.
Kelly's got this bewildered look. What have I walked into here?
Kenny, well, synchronized watches. I'll give you code over the air. That's when it's time to go out and get a pack of cigarettes, all right?
Well, I got a pack of cigarettes on me right now.
Well, I'm just looking to get you out of there before the house goes up in flames.
Well, I'm about to move and get out on my own as soon as I can save up, but I don't know what to do right now because I can't get kicked out.
Don't tell your sister you're gay. Lay low and then move out when you're ready to move out.
All right.
How tough is that? Listen, you know, we talk to people night after night. They're like 16, 17, 18. They're living at home. There's a step-parent they don't get along with real well, or they're living over at their sister or brother-in-law's place, whatever it is. And they're almost going to move out, but they're not quite ready to move out, and they want to know what the strategy is because they don't get along very well with the people that are putting the roof over their house. And here's the strategy. Kiss ass.
Yeah.
Kiss a ton of ass.
This is the point.
Don't cause trouble.
What is the shame in hiding who you really are from a bunch of a-holes?
Yeah, who you are.
What's the hurry to be honest with them? If they're going to treat you like crap, if they're going to reject you, hey.
Wait
till you got a life before.
Later.
Yeah, it's your family. I understand, but wait till you have a life before you take on that challenge.
Plus, it's easy to work around people. You know their schedule. You know when they come home. You know when they go to work. You go to work. You go to school. You go hang out with your buddies. You go do what you got to do. You come in. You go to bed. You watch a little TV, whatever, and you sneak out the next morning. You just stay out of their crosshairs, and you can stretch this thing out for another year. But our listeners don't do that because they're as confused and scared and troubled as they are, they're pissed off, too. And they're going to come home drunk and tell them what they think of them the next night. And that's the strategy that ain't going to pay off. Sam?
Yeah?
You're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
I wanted to know about the pill. My girlfriend just got on the pill, okay? Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if there's any way that pill can decrease her sex drive at all.
Yes, it can.
It can?
Is that true?
While you're on it, certain pills can.
Oh, and ortho.
Ortho what?
I can't remember exactly.
Ortho tricycline?
Ortho novum, ortho tricycline.
I think it's
ortho est.
I think it's tricycline.
Yeah. Actually, the tricyclics usually increase sex drive.
It does?
Though different pills affect different people differently.
Okay. I had another question. We've both been told different things about this whole thing. Is there any way that if she stays on it for longer than a year, that she can become sterile?
If that were the case, how many women in this country do you think would be sterile?
I don't know.
We'd be on
Millions.
Easy Street.
All of them.
We'd be living in a utopia.
Most of them would be sterile.
We'd all be driving home at 145 miles an hour with a 12-pack between our legs, firing guns off over our heads because they're just... It'd be like Omega Man. Could you imagine the utopia, Drew?
Yeah, it does not affect fertility at all.
All women die at the age of 21.
In fact, there's evidence that there are actually health benefits to being on the pill.
Your egg stays younger.
The ovarian cancer risks are less, uterine cancer possibly less. The risks of tubal infections are less, so fertility actually is improved on the pill.
Mm. Okay.
All right, Sam. That's enough.
No more?
All right, what is it? It's got to be good.
If she is taking antibiotics with it... Mm. Is there any way that can be damaging to her at all?
No, but it makes the pill not work.
It does make the pill not work?
Sometimes. If you're on any other medication, check with your doctor and or use a second means of contraception like a condom.
Okay, thank you.
All right. All right there, Sam. Kelly? Not that Kelly. Kelly Martin's our guest tonight from ER, and Kelly 15 at 15 is on the phone. Kelly?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Okay. My question is that I've been friends with this girl for about 7 years, and lately she's been like kind of flirting with me, and I was spending the night at her house, and we're watching a movie on her couch, and she leaned over and she's like, I've had lesbian sex before, and I'm not sure if she's bisexual or not, but I've heard a rumor that she is, and I don't know.
Well, she just told you she was, at least lesbian.
Well, I can't tell really, because she has a lot of...
Kelly?
Yeah?
Didn't she just tell you she was lesbian?
No. Well, she's had a lot of boyfriends before.
Kelly?
Yeah?
What did she tell you when she leaned over?
No, she said that she had lesbian sex.
Okay. Is there any question then whether she had lesbian experiences?
I don't know. I can't tell.
Can't tell what? Whether that was her voice coming out of her mouth?
All right. Let's do a little reenactment here. Hold on a second there, Kelly. Drew?
Yes.
Let's just say you and I took the night off Thursday night. Well, wouldn't that be great? But here's the provision for us taking a Thursday night off to watch ER.
Of course.
10 o'clock NBC. Kelly, please force your meds down. We have to cuddle
on Ritalin.
On a futon.
You and I?
Yes, through the entire hour episode. Okay?
It's just such a bizarre
just
concept.
Stay
all
with
that
me.
Hair.
It's a very romantic show, too.
Yeesh. I keep my socks on.
And your hat, of course.
Halfway into it, I lean over and I say, Drew, I nailed this guy in the ass once.
Several times.
A couple times. Yeah. Well, same guy, yeah. Same, well, I did the one guy once.
Or you could say I've had lesbian sex before, which would be weird, too.
No, that'd be too much. His glasses would crack. But I'll just explain how I blew this guy this one time.
Yeah.
Now, you wouldn't walk away thinking, geez, I wonder if he's game sexually.
Or I wonder if he's bi. Ooh, I wonder.
Yeah. What did that mean?
No, I'd be thinking... Ooh, did like a warlock take over his body for a few minutes? Some sort of spirit he was channeling from another world. That's it. So I doubt that he was actually gay.
But I have a question. If at 15, sometimes don't you say things for shock value? And you just want to see what the other person would think or say? And
possibly, but this is her good friend of 7 years. I wonder, that seems almost a little incriminating in a way.
Yeah.
So caller Kelly?
Yeah.
So, what is your question for us, though?
I don't know if I should be friends with her or not. If I should hang out with her, because I feel kind of uncomfortable around her now.
Well, she did kind of come on to you, I think.
Yeah.
So, and you don't want to be with her in that sort of way, right?
Yeah.
And she kind of creeped you out a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would go ahead and trust my instincts if I were you.
Well, you don't want to reject her friend because she's gay. You want to set limits with her so she doesn't put you in uncomfortable situations. Let her know if she brings this up again, you're not into that kind of thing. Just state that. That's not me. And if she keeps pushing, then you don't hang around her. Certainly, I would not be around her. Maybe not even alone until you find out what's going on with her. But don't reject your friend.
And if she's been friends with you that long, she'll get it. She'll get it. She'll know.
I'm just saying, sometimes your friends creep you out. They say something that creeps you out a little bit.
Your friends are all creepy, and you hang around them still.
No, that's true, but they don't creep me out. They just creep out society. Jason?
Yeah.
You're 22.
Yeah.
What's up?
Not too much. I was hoping I'd get on soon.
Well, here you are.
Careful.
Got a quick comment and question.
Sure.
I've been listening to you guys for like 6 years, and every time I try to call, I've got a busy signal until just last night. But,
hold on, I got to jump in for a second, Jason. I'll put you on hold. It's always ironic when people call and tell you on the air how they can't get through.
Yeah.
There's a little kind of catch-22 problem that's not working in their favor. You know, if you're talking about how you can't get on the air, it seems to me that maybe you did make it through that one time. But all right, Jason, that's number one. What's number two?
Hey, number two, there's this girlfriend of mine that I know. Been friends with her for a long time, and she's moving to New York on Thursday. And basically, I want to have her spend the night with me before she goes, but I don't want to.
What's in it for her?
Well, I mean.
Ride to the airport.
Yeah, I mean.
In a wet nap.
Driving, actually. I just want to, tell her that I've had some feelings for her, and.
Yeah.
Well, you can go ahead and tell her that, but I don't think that's going to result in anything. I mean, if anything, she's going to be protecting herself from making that kind of a connection with you.
Okay.
Well, how long have you been friends with her?
About 2 years.
And has there ever been any sparks between the two of you?
There's been some flirtation, yeah.
Well, Kelly, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking you should just tell her that you have feelings for her and let her go to New York and maybe go see her at some point.
Okay.
Don't expect to...
This is an interesting example of how different the male-female mind works. The man is like, the clock is ticking. I've just got a few more minutes before I can really get this done. And the woman is like, why would I make that level of connection with somebody and then leave?
No, there's no way. Yeah. It's too painful.
The guy's thinking if he enters the conversation with an erection, he can shave some time off the whole lovemaking act.
Right.
I mean, it's good to be prepared. I won't wear underwear.
That's the guy's thinking.
And I'll sort of stimulate myself on the drive over, so I'm good and ready.
That's the thinking, is that I've only got until this amount of time to get this thing done.
Yeah.
Well,
once it's done, it's done.
No, it's more. It. Listen, here's what Jason has going here. We know it all too well. He's a guy. He gets put in the friendship category a little too much. He's liked this girl for a couple of years.
Yeah.
He's been trying to psych himself up to talk to her for a long time. Now she's going out of town, and he's going, F it, I'm going for broke.
Yeah. Right.
But that's translating into sleeping with her, too. He sort of has himself talked into that as well.
But it's not taking into consideration how a woman would accept or feel about that kind of an overture, what it would mean to her, which is different than what it means to him.
And she's not going to, you know, Asia. Yeah. Or up the street. She's going to New York. She, you know, if there's something, there's something. And
Jason doesn't seem like a frequent flyer, though. Jason?
Yeah.
You've dug her for a couple of years, right?
Right.
What's been the holdup?
Just rejection, basically. Rejection.
She rejects you?
Not necessarily. I fear the rejection.
You fear it?
Yeah.
But it's kind of weird, isn't it, Jason, that 'cause I've been through this myself. You fear rejection, so you don't want to talk to her for, you know, 2 years. But in the back of your mind, there's this bizarre sort of grandiose dream that when you do really drop the question, you're getting laid. you know what I'm saying? It's really like the furthest of two extremes.
Right.
The truth is probably somewhere in the middle. How far do you live from New York? Where are you calling from?
I'm from Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, just
the Denver airport. Come on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Everything goes through Denver.
You just catch the next flight from Boulder to the Denver airport.
Right. The helicopter.
Which is just a 3.5 hour skip. And then you switch on over to JFK. You got no problems.
Okay.
All right. Go. You know what, Jason? Here's what you say to her. Just say, tell her the truth. I know this sounds novel. Just go, I've known you for 2 years. And I've always been interested in you, and I've never had the courage to say, but the fact that you're leaving makes me feel like I should say this.
And I really hope you sleep with me.
And get downstairs, honey, and get busy. All right, Jason?
Good luck.
Get drunk and say something.
Oh, well, I'm a recovering alcoholic, so that one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Bless you.
Don't worry.
Hey,
yeah.
I got a question for you, Adam.
Yeah.
Has Drew referred you to a 12-step program for masturbating?
No.
Wait, yes, I have.
You have?
Jason, I've mentioned many times to him how much I thought the sexual compulsivity was an issue here.
Compulsivity.
You've got that special relationship with alcohol that I've mentioned many times.
Special with alcohol.
Many times.
I've suggested that I'm an alcoholic.
I've sort of breached it by suggesting you discuss it with your therapist, which you have yet to do.
Okay.
Assuming the therapist would, of course, refer you to the appropriate resource.
Let me defend myself for one moment, please. Number one, my masturbatory levels are at an all-time low. They're dangerously low, I dare say. I am down to maybe 3 or 4 times a week.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh. Good for you.
Yes. It is down. Drew, just because you do not have time, my new euphemism is Frost the Comforter that I stumbled onto in Tucson when I was yelling at some kid. It's good, isn't it? Frost in the Comforter.
It's great.
Because you do not...
Really do not lag him on.
Make time. And you know what I was saying to Drew, too? I said, you know, not only could this Frosting the Comforter be good for actually masturbating, but later on it could become part of the lexicon of the English language, meaning, you know, a boss, a foreman could walk into a construction site where a bunch of guys were sitting around and go, all right, you guys, quit Frosting the Comforter and get back on the clock. You know what I'm saying?
It's beautiful.
She even worked that into an ER episode.
I'm taking notes, I swear.
The point is my masturbation is at an all-time low. And Drew, just because you don't have yourself, or at least don't admit to doing it multi times a week, does not mean the whole of male America agrees with your schedule. Most guys I know good for once a day. Single.
No way.
Absolutely. I was just on the phone with my partner today who copped 7-8 times a week. No problem.
I have to have a talk with the young man. Let's get him on the phone. Get Jimmy on the phone.
Please. He's a busy man.
Emmy Award-winning Jimmy Kimmel.
Excuse That's me. Right. All right. So please, 3 times a week, maybe.
Was he having sex with his wife? Seriously.
He gets a little on the side.
On the side from his wife?
Yeah. They meet out by the dumpster behind Ralph's, and he gets a hand job twice a month. It's very healthy. All right. Doing the show, standing around, talking around. All right. All right.
Adam, are you having a bad night?
No, I'm all right. I got congestion, and when I got the congestion, I can hear my own voice in my own head, and that gets bad. I realize how it is for everyone else.
He's been doing that. Was it Fred Sanford? Was that his name?
Weezy. I mean,
Weezy.
No, a little bit.
He's doing the Sanford imitation for the last couple of weeks. It's been getting more and more fetching.
Well, I'm trying to establish some form of order in this radio show, you know. People, here's what happens on the show. People stand in the doorway and talk during the commercial break, which is fine. And then I put my headphones on and the music starts coming up, which means we have about 10 seconds before the mics heat up. And I say, all right, everyone out. And everyone looks at me and goes, okay. And then they finish whatever it is they're doing. And then I go, get out. And they go, oh, yeah. And they continue what they're doing. And then I yell, get the F out. And then they go, hey, what's with the attitude? But seriously, you're in a radio studio. And someone says, you know, back it out. Just back it out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Right.
Right. I'm always right.
Yes, you're
don't
right.
make me have another spasm.
That was last night.
I missed it.
Last night was a spell. Tonight's a spasm. That's different. I need a little fan to, you know, because I get flush. Kelly Martin is our guest tonight. You know her from Life Goes On, a thousand different TV movies and TV shows and movies of the week. And now, of course, ER, that's on, I think it's on NBC on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock. She plays a fourth year medical student, and I think your bio needs to be updated because I think it says third year somewhere.
I'll let them know.
Somewhere around here, and it really threw me. Yes, there it is, right there. Second paragraph.
Okay, that somebody's going to get whipped for that.
Yeah. Well, you just fire them. You don't explain yourself. Okay. Just fire them. Okay. That sends a message. Okay. Marla?
Yes?
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, my question is, I just was able to orgasm for the first time 3 months ago. And I, my husband at the time, he bought me a vibrator and said for me, you know, here you go and see if this will help. Because I had been talking to him about, like, how I really wanted to be able to do that and I wasn't able to. Yeah. And it worked. And it's great and everything. But so since then I've been trying to orgasm during sex with him and I haven't been able to.
You're thinking about it too much. You are. If you just relax about it and don't put so much pressure on yourself and on him,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't think about it so much.
Well, but wait a minute. You couldn't have the orgasm with him before the vibrator?
No.
And now?
I couldn't have the orgasm at all before the vibrator.
Right, so you never could have an orgasm
before
the vibrator.
No.
It's not like the vibrator jars some big orgasm kitty that's tucked inside you loose and they all just come spilling out. The only way you have the orgasm is with the vibrator.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be a surprise that you're still not having one with your husband.
Unless you've tried to include the vibrator into your activities there, have you?
Yes, uh-huh.
And that still doesn't work.
No, that works.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Well,
but it's cumbersome because it's like kind of, I don't know.
You got to get the handheld model. What did you get, the wall mount? The Badger 1600 series? The old wall mount unit?
No, it's just like a small, I don't know.
A small one? Oh, handheld?
Yeah, it's like it has batteries.
Well, they're really, I got to get down to the sex store because they're really making some breakthroughs.
Well, it's waterproof.
I swear to God, my mom had one that my grandmother gave her. The thing had a trailer hitch on it, and she just have to park it out in the, she kept it.
Well, it was a hand crank, right? They had to have some guy stand by.
Took two people to operate. She had to put a tarp over it when it rained, you know, it was out because we just couldn't fit it in the garage. But it was,
and
it was
you all know this was Grandma's vibrator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have the newfangled one that you can actually use with one hand?
Yes.
Wow. I'll tell you. Yeah. It technology really marches on. So you use it when you're with him, and what's the big deal with that?
It just feels kind of strange, like bringing this, like, you know, prop in between us, and you know what I mean?
That's why you name it.
What?
You name it. You don't have to get into that, get the vibrator. Get Larry. Where's Victor? He's in the drawer. And then you can start talking about him, you know?
Oh my God.
I think Victor's getting horny. Well, should we ask him?
That's nice. And it's not, I don't think it bothers him.
Yeah.
It just bothers me. And I don't like the sound, you know, it's kind of, you know, whatever, it's kind of loud.
Yeah.
It's like, I was actually just kind of wondering if there was something I could do, like, now that, I mean, I for a while, I thought I was, like, one of that 1% of the population that couldn't at all.
Yeah.
It ain't, man, I don't think it's 1%.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe 15% or 20%.
Well, maybe that's just your technique.
What technique? That's the question.
Honestly, you just...
My new technique is, hey, I got a TV show, honey. Come on.
That's nice. Mm-hmm.
I just stopped. Just, I would say just don't think, just don't overthink it and just remember, like, you know, why you love him and, you know, just...
Oh, that's not a problem.
You picture yourself with the good times with Victor, where you're in that field of clover and you're spinning around with the vibrator in slow motion, and there's a shot of the vibrator and the shot of you and you're holding hands and then skipping along the beach and... I don't know. What? Listen, she may not be having it without it, so I agree with Kelly. She's got to relax, yeah, but this may
fantasy.
Not be coming.
She has a fantasy that may not be reality.
Yeah.
For her.
Yeah.
That's all. It's all right. Nobody else bothered by it except her. You know, right.
Right. All right.
Jimmy.
Jimmy, you're 17.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Well, I got a bump on my right testicle.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's like firm.
Anybody take a look at it?
No, not. Well, I told my mom, she gave me a doctor's appointment.
All right, good.
But I was just wondering if you knew what it was. Like,
well,
what it was.
It can be lots of things, and it's important to have a doctor check those out. Anything that's like a little pebble could be a cancer. These are highly treatable cancers as long as they're picked up early, so it's something that you got.
Well, I was sleeping last night, and then about, like, 5 in the morning, it, like, was hurting real bad, like my right testicle.
Yeah. Have you been smashing on it a bunch, feeling this thing?
On the bump?
Yeah.
Well, no, I felt it a couple times, but I don't know, I might have been, like, sleeping on it or something.
How'd you find it?
I was just checking.
All right. Do you do what I do with the flashlight? Where you
transilluminate?
Just rest it on the lens there and point it up toward your face like you're telling a scary story when you're camping?
But it's a great thing you're getting checked out, Jimmy. Even if it does turn out to be something significant, there can be tumors in the testes your age. That does happen. It's highly, highly treatable, and I'm sure it'll be not a big deal for you. But there are other things like cystus, fluid-filled bodies that can grow in there, like cystaceles, spermatoceles.
Yeah. Hey, Drew.
Erica Seals.
Yeah. I'm no doctor.
Indeed.
But, you know, when people describe having like a, you know, pea-sized lump somewhere or a, you know, bump the size of a...
always food.
Yeah, it was always like an orange or something, or, you know, the size
baseball,
of a pomegranate.
Baseball, golf balls get into it, too.
Balls. What's the percentage that they actually find that object that they used to describe where the bump was? You know what I mean? It was actually a golf ball under the guy's skin.
Obviously,
10%, 15%?
No, the majority of times.
I would think.
Well, you'd say, it's the size of a golf ball. You'd think it's a pretty decent chance there may be a golf ball under there.
Right.
Work that in to the next.
I'm just going to improvise it into whatever scene I'm doing tomorrow.
Here's what you do.
Okay.
Here's how the show begins. The show begins with someone coming in, and they're rubbing, like, their elbow or their forearm, and they go, they describe it as, I have a golf ball size lump right at the joint of my elbow. And throughout the show, they keep revisiting the same case. And they're not doing anything. He's waiting around. He's making phone calls. But each person comes in, and when they talk about it, he has a golf ball size lump on his inner arm there. And then at the end of the show, they actually say, let's see what this thing is.
Let's do the surgery.
It's a Titleist golf ball. It's actually a golf ball.
And it turns out
the guy works at the driving range.
Brilliant.
And product placement. Think of the opportunity for product placement. Top flight.
Oh, right, man.
That's right.
Oh, man. I think it's brilliant. I'm going to tell them.
Pitch it to them. And if they like it, you tell them it was my idea.
Yes, sir.
But if they think you're insane.
All right, let's keep going. We have to go to break already.
All right, let's just sell one of these. Kathy?
Yeah?
You're 30?
The honeymoon.
Okay.
Was that good?
How long ago was that?
Well, we've been married for 5 years.
Okay. All right, hang on. I'm Adam, that's Drew. Kelly Martin is our guest tonight from ER. She's the cute blonde who's the fourth year medical student.
You got that down, don't you now?
I thought, you're really 4 whole years still a student, huh? What is that, Drew? I thought you said you went like a year and a quarter or something.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen?
Yeah.
In what?
Assuming I don't get fired.
In ER?
Yeah. Well, she just kind of likes the ER. Well, I mean, you never know. You never know if they decide they don't need me anymore.
I see. But
they turn that cast over pretty good.
They do. We have so many new people this year.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, we had Abraham or whatever his name. Remember the big giant?
Yeah. He's not on anymore.
Nice big stoner guy.
Abraham Ben Ruby, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his name.
Just a big mountain of pot, that guy. I love that guy,
He's
though.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
A lot of fun.
I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while. I don't know what he's been up to.
I just saw him on the movie or something. What's he on now?
I don't know. He's not been working on ER.
Well, I miss him. I miss his work, and that's why I stopped watching the show, quite frankly.
I saw him at George of the Jungle with my kids.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
You saw him in the theater or on the film?
The film.
I see.
In the theater.
I see. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad he's working. I guess I missed George of the Jungle this time around, but I'll read the book.
What a funny tangent we just went on.
I know. All right, well, so let's get back on wherever we were.
Our usual tangents.
Yeah. Loveline, the TV show, premieres tonight, by the way. I think I should mention at 11 o'clock. It's the new season, and same old crap, though. So
New co-host. New studio. New audience.
Studio's the same.
It's different.
Does it look different?
Yeah, they got that ring of terror there at the other, the people standing.
That's going to fall on someone's head, Drew. Let me explain what I'm going to do.
Huh?
I'm going to cramp, and then I'm going to run for my dressing room.
Thank you for sharing.
That's right. That is what I'm going to do.
That wasn't
happens.
Graphic enough.
That's exactly what my plan is. All right, Kathy?
It's great that you know that ahead of time.
Oh, you got to be prepared, Drew.
We'll just steer clear.
You know, people think you only have to be prepared to act in a calm and civil manner or to act in a way that might prevent something.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if you're going to panic, you should prepare for that, too. Be prepared.
Why don't you wear a diaper out there, right? Just in case.
What do you mean? Why don't I just? Oh, I do wear it. Of course I do. That's part of the new program. Kathy?
Yes?
All right, so you're 30.
Right.
You've been married for 5 years.
Right.
Yeah, and the honeymoon was 5 years ago, too, right?
Right.
What was it like before the honeymoon?
Well, I kind of think I know what the problem is. We just don't know how to solve it, and that is that I always use sex to get guys, and so once I got my husband and the honeymoon, it's like, why do you need it?
Excellent.
Now when we do have sex, it's great. I can have an orgasm and all that, and I love my husband, but I'd just rather not have sex.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but why do you think that you'd rather not? What is the feeling that's negative associated with doing it?
I don't know. I think it's just not necessary anymore.
Well, let's assume that it is. Okay. Most humans find it a necessary element of a relationship. So what is it that feels not so right for you?
I think I feel a little bit resentful. I don't...
Of what?
Ooh, now we're getting there.
Of what?
Well, not of him. I had a lot of partners before him. He doesn't know that, but I did. And I think... it was always to get the guy. Once I got him, it wasn't necessary. Resentful maybe that maybe I think that it's men kind of use it for not for love. I'm just being used. Even though he's
so you feel objectified by it at all?
Yeah, I think I do. Even though he's my husband, I love him, and I know that's not.
All right. So where's Dad?
Oh, my dad's in my life, but
alcoholic.
My mother's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And my father...
I bet Dad's alcoholic, too.
Oh, no, he's not. But he had a job that took him away from the home, so I was with an abusive mother who was an alcoholic.
Okay. All right. Well...
So my dad and I have a close relationship. My mother and I have a relationship. It's not really close.
Shouldn't you be pissed at your dad, though, for leaving you with an abusive alcoholic while he hit the road?
Yes, and I have been, and we've talked about it. But you think I would have gotten over that by now?
Well, it's pretty heavy.
That's crazy.
How many conversations did you have, you know?
Yeah, and it's just a pretty heavy biology that needs to be sorted out very thoroughly and in a safe environment. This is therapy, Kathy.
Therapy?
Yeah, it really is.
Have you gotten any?
No.
All right.
Well, now should my husband come with me, or should I do it?
No.
Eventually, maybe. Yeah, but not now.
When you're ready to put out, he should show up, and the therapist should clear out. And you guys use a sofa.
Yeah. It is. It is clearly you resent him for being a male.
Boy.
And the fact that everything about sexuality is that of objectification for you. You have nothing else in it than that. You got to get through that.
You never got raped or molested or anything?
Well, there was a date rape when I was 19, but.
Yeah.
I had a, you know.
No. Something before that. Nothing before that?
No. Uh-uh.
All right.
I had a lot of partners.
Your mom or dad never got weird on you about your sexuality when you were growing up?
Oh, my mother, you know, called me a slut when I kissed a boy.
Yeah. All right. So you
actually have a question. Why haven't you told your husband that you've had a lot of other partners?
Well, you know, when we first started dating, I had a reputation, and I made him not believe it. I just told him, no, it wasn't true.
Stick with it.
And he believed me. He believes me. What should I tell him?
Stay with it.
Yeah, don't get into that yet. But what you do need to tell him is what you're dealing with here.
Don't get him into that.
We've talked about it a lot, and I've told him I think this is why it happens. Because, you know, you wouldn't go out with me until, you know, we had sex, and then everything was fine. We ended up getting married, but...
All right, listen, Screwy. Get to the therapist and start working it out.
Yes, sir.
Because this doesn't have much to do with your husband, except for he's the benefactor of all this screwed-up cramp your mom put you through.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
All right. Well, there you go.
Wow.
Never heard someone so perky about going to the therapist. I'm sorry. I'm sick. But this is a guy's worst nightmare, which is slept around... Like I was, you know, basically as some kind of prostitute before we met. Now I'm with you. Sorry, you ain't getting any. This is the worst of both worlds for a guy. And I know you should be honest with your partner and all that other nonsense. But when you're not putting out with a guy, and then you come clean about, honey, remember the six guys I told I was with? Put a zero and add 10 onto that, and you're starting to get in the neighborhood. The guy's going to kill himself at that point.
That's true.
So
with all the other stuff.
Stick with the lie. That's fine. And hit some therapy.
Yeah.
All right. Because, imagine that. You know, always use sex to get guys, and now I got you, and you're not getting any. Hello?
Hey, Adam.
Hey, you're 25.
Yeah, I am.
Oh. You drunk?
No, I had a little bit of Heine, though.
Well, that was quick, Adam. Good for you.
Is that an air compressor in the background?
I'm cooking for my honey.
Using compressed air?
I'm in an industrial-type kitchen. I'm walking through the antenna now.
Yeah. Oh, is that a vent?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Let's, you know what? This is going to take forever to get anything out of it. Let's take a break here. This is not...
Okay, Drew.
Hey, Lo?
Yeah, Adam?
I'll tell you what. Do me a favor.
Okay.
See if you can force yourself to vomit during
the
break.
Splash some cold water in your face.
Splash. Take a cold shower and drink a cup of black coffee.
Uh-huh.
I know you can do all that in 4 minutes because I've done all that as a ritual for getting ready for work on many a weekday morning. So squeeze that in.
Okay.
And then we'll talk to you when you come back, all right?
Great.
Okay. All right there, Lo. Hang tough.
Kelly,
let me just pay you a compliment. For someone who's been in the business as long as you have, and I read here by your bio, age 7 is when you got in, you're remarkably sane.
I'm really sane. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but you must have dodged some sort of industry bullet or something.
I had a really good family. That's...
Good. I wish...
Thank you, though. Thank you for calling me sane. I appreciate it.
Very sane. Very super sane. All right. We will take a 10-second timeout, and then we'll be back with more of the show in just 10 seconds.
This is Loveline on...
Radio Station.
Clubline. Kelly Martin is our guest tonight, as I've stated before, from ER, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock on NBC. And when we left off, we were
talking
speaking to Lo, who's had a couple of heinies and got her head stuck in a hood fan.
Ha, ha, ha.
Lo?
Adam.
You have not sobered up at all, have you, honey?
Yeah, I have.
All right.
Laps around the track. I'm cool.
All right, so what's your question?
My question is, I had a girlfriend of mine. We were just friends for a long time, still are just friends. And she's kind of opened up to me a lot about her sexuality, which is cool because I'm an open type person.
Yeah.
But her boyfriend was accusing us of sleeping together. And a lot of my girlfriend's boyfriends have accused me of sleeping with them, but it's not really me. But anyway. And
a lot of your girlfriend's boyfriends...
accuse me of sleeping with...
With the boyfriends.
No, with the... Well, yeah, that too. Both of them. I'm just like a open person sexually.
Yeah. Let me translate that. Screwed up.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, but anyway.
Anyway, ever since the boyfriend accused us of sleeping together, I've gotten feelings for her. And I talked to her the other day, and she told me she's feeling the same.
Yeah.
My question is, how all of a sudden, you know, never had feelings or any type of interest in each other until the boyfriend said something?
Oh, please. Listen. Well, it's all his fault for bringing it up. Thank God he didn't ask if you were getting it on with a llama.
Right.
You'd have to
kid.
Go blow one. Listen, Lo, what's up with you? Why all the confusion? Why are they acting out?
No boundaries.
Well, I have had boundaries. It's just
in the mid-60s.
It's like...
Listen,
like,
Lo.
You have a buddy, right?
Lo, I don't want to. I don't want to talk about here and now. I want to talk about back when
you were eight.
Yeah. What kind of situation did you grow up in?
Very loving family.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Family.
What kind of family?
Extended family.
Yeah.
You know, grandma, granddad, aunts, uncles.
Did they raise you, or you just knew them?
No, they raised me.
Were your parents?
Hmm.
Where were your parents?
Oh, my mom was there. My dad wasn't there.
Where was your dad?
Raising somebody else's kids.
And when did he leave? When did he leave?
Well, he was never there. It's like my mom loved him from high school, and bam, here I am.
All right. Well, that's not necessarily the ideal situation, not to know your dad.
Well, no, but now as an adult, he's been around me for like 4 years.
Yeah.
He moved in with
you. You don't need him anymore.
He moved in with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he found out you had a duplex, he decided to have a change of heart.
I think so.
His dads are great. It's like they're not around from 0 to 20, 22, and then all of a sudden they come around.
Yeah. Bam, here you are.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's a wonderful coincidence. There's no staying up late. There's no feeding. There's no formula.
And they have no explanation and don't want to give you one.
No change in any diapers and no nothing, no money for college. Just now that we're both adults, we can relate.
I want to be your father.
Sure, it's great. Yeah, we'll go out to dinner. We'll go Dutch. Fantastic. Yeah, yeah listen. All right.
That's not a dad.
But,
it's a freeloader.
Long story, anyway.
Well, look, there's a lot of crap going on here, Lo. You're in massive denial about it. There's all kinds of crap going on. And I dare say somebody else did something to you, someone in that extended family or extended neighborhood, well beyond just the fact that your relationship with your parents was less than optimal.
What's up? Anything like that?
When I was like an adolescent, we moved in with my uncle, and he never touched me or anything, but he like kind of liked me. I could feel it.
Yeah.
He'd say things like, is it all right for an uncle to date his niece? And he like touched my butt once, but.
Yeah. It's got to be. How old were you?
I was about 17.
Yeah. It's got to be weird.
When
family sort of sexualizes family that way. I mean, even if they're not touching them, it's like your niece becomes some woman who's walking by the construction site and you're hanging your feet off a girder. Hey, baby. Yeah.
Exactly.
And they don't have to touch you.
Yeah, that's worse. I'd rather just get raped once and forget about
get
it.
Over
and have to live in this environment where every time you get out of the shower, you got to worry about him creeping around, you know?
So everything was perfect. Beautiful. Everything is perfect.
Lo, come on, honey. The thing was we're kind of a mess when you're growing up.
No, not really.
All right.
And aside from my mom working and, like, trying to give me things to replace her, you know, like a watch or a TV.
Yeah, okay, Lo, come on. It's like turning into a comedy sketch.
Yeah, really.
Do you understand? Except for the part about my mom working, trying to replace her love.
I know, she's never around.
Monetary gifts. Okay, Lo, so listen, stop acting out. You're just acting out. All right? Can you slow down for a second?
Okay.
How about, here's my challenge to you.
I'm writing a new book. I decided tonight. It's on sexual compulsivity. That's it. The book has got to be written.
I'm going to put a hole in it and mount it. Lo,
I'm going to have a special computer mount for you, Adam.
I don't know. Lo's a million miles away from anything.
Of course.
So here's the deal. Don't get pregnant. Lo, do you have any kids?
No.
Good.
All right.
Don't have any kids. That's you know what?
I wouldn't do it.
I'd tell you to go to therapy and to stop acting out, but I don't think you're going to do it.
Wait a minute. What do you mean when you say acting out?
This is all compulsions that result from the emotional disconnect you've got. Your brain reacts to all that by creating these preoccupations you've got.
Yeah. Just, hey, why don't you be alone with your thoughts and really sort of, you know, take some time with yourself instead of sort of pursuing something all the time, always working an angle.
I mean, I don't want her.
All right, good.
There you go. That's
done.
It.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Lo.
Checked out your site. I registered.
There.
Oh, thank you, Lo. Now you're my best friend.
That's right.
But keep coming back and you learn some more about this stuff, because we hope to have a sort of environments where people like Lo can come get more information, get support from people who maybe been in various stages of recovery from this kind of thing, where they can go for sexual compulsion treatment, that kind of thing.
Chad?
Yes.
You're 21.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, my girlfriend's parents does not like me at all.
Uh-huh.
We've been dating for 3 years.
Can you blame them? Just trying to.
You don't even know the guy.
Just trying
Adam.
To screw with the self-esteem. I don't want my daughter dating anyone named Chad. That's
ooh,
my policy.
Who smokes a lot of pot?
Smokes a lot of weed.
No, actually, I'm drug-free.
For how long?
For 7 years.
And before that?
I smoked dope.
A lot of pot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it still affects you. We can hear it.
Been drug-free since 14.
Well, you know what? It turns out before 15, the effects on the brain are quite substantial. That's actually amazing. Measurably anatomic change. That laugh and that speech pattern, that's all marijuana.
So it's weird. So it's like if you smoke weed, a lot of weed from 13 to 14,
oh, yeah.
You're like forever Hesher.
You're
like a life of Spicoli is what you lead. But if you smoke a ton of weed between 25 and 30, a five-year period,
okay.
And then stop for seven years.
Yeah, it could affect you a lot differently.
You'd be exactly how you were before you started smoking the weed.
Probably true. I don't know.
Yeah. So
what's your question, Chad?
Why doesn't your girlfriend's family like you?
See, at first, it was all right and everything, because I was 18. When we first started going out, I was 18.
Right. She was 14?
Yep.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy. And now that you're 21...
Let me just tell you, Chad, if that were my daughter, I'd probably be executed or something.
Yeah.
Seriously, I would not tolerate it. And nothing against you personally... That's just not a good situation for the daughter.
Well, she's in 10th or 11th grade.
She's 14. She's like 9th grade.
Oh, back then. Yeah, I'm up to the present.
9th grade, and he's in college.
Well, he's not in college.
Well, where he should be, working at a muffler factory. But, you know, the deal is, it's just not right for the kid. Any parent that gives a damn is going to react.
Well, it was okay with them back then.
Oh, really?
So well, she's 17 now?
Yeah, 16.
And you're 21.
Now it's a five-year difference. 13 and 15, 18, okay.
Right, yeah. Okay, and what's the problem now?
Well, it started about 3 months ago.
Wait, by the way, 13, 18 was 8th grade in college.
Well, she said 14, I think. Oh, but it was probably 13, you're right. Okay, I'm sorry. There, go ahead, Chad. Drew, put away the abacus and let's move on with the show.
It happened about 3 or 4 months ago, and we broke up. Her mom loved me to death, and then... One of my ex-friends went to him because we were fighting and went to her mom and told her all these bad things about me that happened in the past.
Bad, I mean, truths about you that
things
you wouldn't
that you
want
actually
her to know.
Did, that you didn't want her to know, right?
Yeah, that I don't do no more.
Right.
And
okay.
She gave him.
Hey, Chad.
Yes.
Come on, pick up the pace, would you, brother? You haven't been stoned in 7 years, for Christ's sake. Let's go.
And her mom don't like me no more and everything, and she don't want me to see her no more.
Okay, yeah. Well, look at it this way. In another 10 years, she can move out of the house, and you guys can start dating, get your own place.
She's going to try to protect her daughter, and if she doesn't think that her daughter should be with you, she's going to do everything in her power to keep you guys apart.
Hey, she's six. Yeah,
16's still a kid.
What grade is she in?
She's in 11th grade.
All right.
She's a kid.
That's
Chad's in law school.
Shouldn't you guys just break up? You've been together for long enough, Chad. Haven't you?
Huh?
Oh boy,
Chad.
We've been together for 3 years.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Chad, what does your girlfriend think? What does she want to do?
She wants to stay with me, and I want to stay with her.
All right. Well,
the parents. Thing.
Okay, well, what do you want us to say?
Let her turn 18 and then talk about it.
Oh, that's not going to work. It's 2 years from now. Chad?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. You now you have sex with her, you're criminal. Well, and same with the last two or three years. There's some raping going on here.
But now there's somebody to press charges.
Yeah, you got mom pissed off. Chad, I don't have an answer.
Okay.
I think you guys should break up. I really do. 21 and 16 is a big gap, and you guys have been going out for long enough, and her mom's a piece of work, but she wouldn't let a 13 or 14-year-old go out with an 18-year-old unless she was a piece of work. And Chad, Chad needs to focus on Chad. I rarely say that using the name Chad twice, but Chad,
focus.
You need to do some work on yourself, brother. How can you move on in your adult life when you're dating a chick in high school? You know what I mean? I mean, think about that. It's a sort of constant regression thing that you're going through. It's like, here you are, you're 21 years old. You should be working on your career or your education or whatever the hell you're working on at 21. And there's a chick with a peachy folder under her arm who wants to talk to you.
Or take you to her prom.
Yeah, what's the talk about?
Take the old guy to the prom.
You guys are going
to
go out and price boutonnieres this weekend. You know, I mean, how can you move on?
It's so sad for her, too. She never gets to really experience her high school.
Yeah.
Now, listen, any of you boneheads smoking a ton of weed at 12, 13 years old, listen to old Chad. Yeah. 7 years, his lips have not wrapped around a bong, and it sounds like he was baked.
I'd love to see those serial CAT scans. You'd see some interesting shrinkage.
Josh?
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have a question. I know when I go to the gym and I do leg lifts where my back is vertical, you know, I've actually...
Back is vertical? What does that mean?
Where, you know, where the ones where you rest your arms on something and you lift your legs.
It's kind of like a seat. It's a seat without a chair.
It's an abdominal thing,
for your abs.
Yeah.
And actually doing that, it's made me orgasm twice, and I wanted to know if that's a problem.
How many of those do you do?
I do like between 20 and 30 of them with my legs straight.
It's not a problem for Josh, but for the old guy who's on the foam pad that's rolled out in front of him doing his leg lifts, it's a bitch.
Do you have a problem with
the guy left with the mat stuck to his back? Security had to tackle him in the parking lot.
Do you have a problem with premature ejaculation generally?
I used to, yeah.
How did you overcome that?
Huh?
How did you overcome that?
Just by, you know, just having sex with my girlfriend more.
More frequently?
Yeah, more frequently. And then eventually it started to go away.
So do you get on the apparatus with an erection, or are you flaccid?
No, not at all. See, no. I never get an erection the whole time. I orgasm without an erection.
Do you orgasm, or you just emit some semen?
No, it's not like a normal orgasm, though. It feels different, but it still feels really good, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I would call it an orgasm.
Wow. And you haven't went ahead and purchased that piece of equipment for your home gym already? I would have swung by the busybody on the way home and picked up one of those babies.
Yeah, I'm saving up the cash.
We can't get it on the Miata. Strap it to the roof! All right, so, wow. I wish I could leak semen that way. I really do. I'd do it right now. I'd dump a bunch of talc and roll up some toilet paper and stuff it down my shorts, and I just hit the road laughing like a hyena. And, like, I'd just be doing it all the time. Boss chewing you out. Parents giving me a hard time. Just smile and nod my head. Wow. All right. Hey, Josh?
Yeah.
Well, it's not normal, but I don't think it's bad, is it?
You know, that's what I'm asking. I hope it's not a problem.
Are you on any medications? Hey, Josh, you on any meds?
Huh?
You on any medication?
No, none at all.
All right.
All right.
You didn't take steroids or anything like that anytime?
No.
All right.
All right, you're all right. And how's the premature prom going with the girlfriend?
Well, you know what? I broke up with my girlfriend a little while ago, so...
You've got a little buildup going here. That's
it could be. That could be the answer.
All right. Well, Chad truly, I mean, I should say Josh truly is one of those guys. You know when they talk about working out and giving 110%? He's like, when I become a coach one day, that's what I'm doing. I want to check a guy's underpants for semen. That's why I know the guys are really pushing themselves, really
that
working.
That is great.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You manage.
They talk like this in New Haven?
No. I don't know. I haven't been to New Haven for a while. It just ER set.
Randy?
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
My question is that, like, whenever I, like, go out with a girl or when I meet a girl and I start to have feelings for her, like, I'm not obsessed, but I get really infatuated with her. Like, I'll think about her, like, pretty much all the time.
When does the infatuation develop? At the point at which she shows interest in you, or at the point you just establish a date, or when does it happen?
When she shows interest in
it. As soon as she says there's a sort of a green light, then you're just in.
Yeah, all pretty right. much.
That's not that uncommon a thing.
Not
the healthiest thing in the world, but it people have it. You may outgrow this.
I may. Well, it's been happening for, like every relationship I've been in. Well, I haven't been in that many. Like,
have you been in bad relationships as a result?
Yeah. My last relationship, yeah, it wasn't working out at all, but I knew that it wasn't any good for me. Mm. You know, she'd, like, ignore me, and I'd get all upset, but I still didn't want to let go.
Yeah. But most younger people, when they find someone they're interested in enough to go out with them, like them. Don't they?
Yeah, but
well, I mean, they don't have to. They don't have to fixate and stalk and all that.
This is that sort of need for fusion and idealizes his partners and they won't let go of those fantasies.
Well, let me float something to Kelly and Drew here. Maybe there's a few different schools.
Oh yes, well, there's a lot of different ways to get to Randy's place.
I personally, when I was a young lad and dating, I would not go out with anyone unless I was really into them. So therefore, anyone who I got to go out with, I was into.
Once you decided you were in, you'd start obsessing too. You had that quality about you.
I know. You want to work in the alcoholism and the masturbation?
No, the part where you're masturbating and crying behind the sorority.
Yes, yes. Sniffing the panties and the clown shoes.
Yeah. What?
Oh, nothing. I don't want to talk about
it. Oh, my God.
Yes. With the tampon in my ass. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, what?
No, no, it's nothing. It's really nothing. It was just, one occasion, went to my old girlfriend's sorority, who's she's an 80 pie over there. It's not an embarrassing story, but it's one I don't mind telling. And one day when I was over there after we broke up, they found me. masturbating out back by the dumpster with clown shoes on and a tampon in my rectum, crying hysterically. And I believe my free hand, which would be my right hand, was on my left nipple, and I was rubbing it in a circle. And I was saying, "Mommy loves me."
You are making this up.
I know. Well,
they've since marked the spot, haven't they?
Well, I was going with you on that for a while.
Oh, Kelly, please.
Oh. Drew likes to tell embarrassing stories, so I figured I'd help him out. What I'm saying is most guys, and Drew, I need you on this one.
I'm listening.
Most guys, and I would say this a little more Drew than me in the past, date. You know, to date when they're dating.
Yeah.
You know, you date. Yeah. There's somebody, they want to go out, they're single, you're single, you want to go out. Maybe you want sex, maybe you don't want sex, but you like date. And some people, and
date
I would include myself.
For enjoyment.
Yeah, it's almost like what you'd call, you know, recreational.
Ooh, like shocking.
Some people are sort of competitive in dating, and they're like dating Olympiads, and other people just are sort of weekend warriors, and they just like going out with a lot of different people, and they'll go out with three or four people, not necessarily like three or four of them that much.
Right.
I never understood that myself.
I'm not like that at all.
And to me, it was like either I liked the person or I didn't, and if I did, I wanted to date them and didn't want to date everyone else. But guys do that, and our last caller over here seemed to do it even more. I mean, he really focused in and was sort of bought
obsessed,
the farm before the first date.
Right.
You know? And that's a little much. I think there's some sort of happy medium there, what I'm saying.
Well, he's 19. He may outgrow this. I mean, that's a lot of teenage males get that kind of a way about them.
Drew, think about, for one painful second, if you were even close to the same person you were at 19 emotionally when it comes to women or dating relationships.
I have to vomit now.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it's an awful feeling.
Not even the same human being, right?
No, awful.
Okay, and that's true. He didn't start off as bad as all you. All right, we'll be back after this. Line. I'm Adam. That is Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And Kelly Martin is our guest tonight. She is on ER. That is on 10 o'clock on NBC. It's almost comical to say when the show's on. Thursday nights. I think
I didn't come on to publicize the show. I came on to hang out with you guys.
Oh, God bless you. And thank God Kelly Martin is here tonight because I'm just in no condition to do the show.
No, you're okay.
You're
fine.
In there.
You're doing good. We just sort of shared the moment of having been with you discussing tampons in your tush.
Right.
And how much joy that brought to the room.
Oh, man.
It's not a moment
I'll never forget that, Adam.
Particularly proud of.
No, but and, we shared and brought great joy to this population here.
It was unfortunate that one of the sorority girls had a camera. But other than that, I have no regrets. All right? That's right. Where the hell are we, Chris?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You're 23.
Yes, sir. How's it going, Drew and Kelly?
It'll be going great as soon as you pick up the receiver of your phone.
It's on.
Well, what do you keep?
I'm on the receiver.
Now, that sounds like a little speakerphone there, Chris.
If that's your receiver, you got an awful phone.
Yeah. This.
There we go.
There we go.
Are you
comfortable
on that?
We're with you now.
All right, cool. Well, my problem basically...
What are people trying to... What, they try to BS us?
Oh, no. See, this is a... phone that like often disconnects. The only way to keep it on the line is to keep the speakerphone on.
Really?
So, yeah, that it's
sounds,
a pain. I know. I need to get
bad.
The phone.
All right, what's up, Chris?
Well, basically, my problem is that I've been seeing this girl for about 5 months, and everything's great. Only the fact is that she's a really hardcore Jewish, and I'm not Jewish. I'm Catholic, and basically, she can only really go out with men that are Jewish. And she's been raised her whole life this, and the problem is that when we go out. We can't really go out and be like, you know, together as a couple. We'll go out as being as friends, and everything will be fine when we're out. But then when we get back together in private, maybe at my place or, you know, in our car together, then it's as if we're really boyfriend and girlfriend, you know. And I have a real problem with that because I really do have feelings for this girl. And she reciprocates that feeling and everything when we're alone together. But when we go out in public, it's as if we're just friends.
Yeah.
And it's as if she doesn't want to be seen by anybody else with me in that way.
That's
wow.
Pretty tough.
And how small is the community that people know the Jew and the Gentile are hitting the town?
You know what? I can honestly tell you I had that same question myself, but it appears to be a problem with her. And
yeah. It's her perceptions. That
yeah,
they,
exactly.
Who cares?
And I tried to talk to her about it, and it just seems as if that the only way that she can continue this type of relationship that we have, and I don't even know if I should call it a relationship, is just to keep it private and on the down low, you know, and don't
it's
tell anybody.
Old.
How old is she?
She's actually 19.
I dated a guy for 4 years who was Jewish, and I'm not. And the more we dated, the longer we dated, the more it became a problem. You know, you meet the grandparents.
Yeah.
They called me a shiksa. And it was difficult. And
but the dream of all Jewish boys is to get a cute blonde, believe me. It's really weird. I think there's something genetically inbred to Jewish men that they all want some shiksa, leggy blonde. I don't know if it's because it's more attractive than the alternative or it freaks their parents out. I don't know what it is, but it is...
The gene pool is calling for a little diversity.
The Moby Dick of all Jewish men is a blonde chick. I swear to God. Right, I'm telling it like it is. And by the way, too, Jews, good people, good religion, but as discriminatory as anybody ever.
Yeah, I've already witnessed some of that.
Jesus Christ. As Jews, I mean, everything's good. It's really the ultimate form of discrimination, which is Jews are liberal and they're fine with everything and they love the black man and all that. But as soon as you try to get with the kid, that's a big deal. A lot of converting going on. That's what I always like, too. I like convert. It's like, listen, I'm not interested in this at all. And I've been a Catholic for 37 years. But, yeah, give me the goddamn Torah. Let's get this over with so we can enjoy ourselves once a year during Hanukkah.
No way.
You haven't had the conversation.
Mm-mm. But it wasn't a problem until we started knowing the families. Yeah. And it was just, too many differences. Yeah. And we didn't want to overcome it. Right. I honestly think if you two want to be together, and if it's in both of you to be with each other, then your religion won't interrupt your relationship.
You'll figure something out.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
And conversion is not a disgraceful thing.
It's a little embarrassing for the dude.
Why
especially
for the kinda, dude?
Let's face it, Jewish is a kind of novelty religion. I mean, it's kind of a dorky religion.
Novelty religion?
It's a goofy religion.
What is that about?
It's goofy.
It took out the middleman. What's the big
between
deal?
The Yama. Let's think of the fashion, for Christ's sake. Bunch of guys.
All right, goofy fashion. Okay.
Goofy fashion, goofy names. Think Yiddish, everybody. For Christ's sake. Sounds like a rabbi's drunk. It is a novelty. It's a novelty religion. It's embarrassing to convert. Come on. Mm. No man. A man who converts, that translates into pussy whipped straight on. You think his friends are going to, are not? If I converted, think about you. If I converted and tried to explain that to my North Hollywood buddies, they would be laughing their asses off.
They would kick your ass for a while. But you'd feel good about it.
No, I wouldn't. Yes, I'd be doing it so I could get into the, get some money out of the folks. Come on. No.
God.
Well, let's be honest. Who converts because they love the religion? They convert because they don't want to get their ass kicked by the grandparents. That's the good part.
I really do think...
Please.
Wait. I think you undersell the importance that religion can play for some human beings.
Right.
Right? It's an important part. It's been with us throughout human history. Humans derive great benefit from it. And as such, some people make the choice about religion they're going to be a part of. And this is
well, let them make the choice then. But
I understand. And
it's not their choice. They have to convert or they can't get married. They don't want to convert.
But can you accept that some people might embrace it wholeheartedly?
I can accept that some people, I'd love to know, and you never get an honest study of this, but I'd bet you 85 to 90% of people who convert do it because they kind of have to, not because they're interested in the religion whatsoever.
That's
it's a ridiculous ritual so the grandparents can die happy. That's it. That's a joke. Come on.
Well, it's also
and any guy who does this is a wuss.
If somebody buys in the idea of maintaining a cultural history, I mean, people can do that.
All right. You know it's
like
a joke.
It.
Come on.
It's not a joke. I understand. You're being honest about the appraisal, but it's not novelty or joke.
Listen. If someone wants to do it for themselves, great.
I'm just trying to think. Are there other examples
of this? If you're Sammy Davis Jr. and you want to wear a high with one eye, that's your business. Go ahead and do it. But if you're doing it because the in-laws are pissed off, then you're doing it for someone else.
All right.
And the great thing about Jews and all other religions, and this is why they're such idiots, they don't care whether they're doing it under the threat of the family or not. Just convert,
just do it.
Shut the hell up, spin the dreidel, let's go home. That's all they care about. They don't even think for a second, hey, this poor Gentile son of a bitch, he doesn't even want to do this. He doesn't even want to be here. You know what I mean? They don't care. That's the beauty of most religions. They really don't care. Just go through the ritual. Let's go home. Let's avoid hell. Nana will be happy. Come on.
Well, it becomes about maintaining a community and the kids.
The kids.
So you can perpetuate all
this. Then you perpetuate it with the kids, and this is what you got. The 19-year-old chick is freaked out, so she walks with the guy 5 feet away and then blows him in the back of his car when they get back to the shopping mall where they park. That's great. Keep the religion alive. Fantastic.
Yes. All Kelly?
Right. No, I was just going to say, 19 is definitely old enough to know whether or not you want to go through with this or not, and maybe she doesn't.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, I don't mind religion if it keeps idiots out of trouble. Don't get me wrong.
Which is
absolutely.
But if you're not a criminal, don't bother. Right. It's fine.
Here we
go. You know? Jerry?
Yes.
You're 19.
Yes.
What's going on?
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I want to know if he could tell me anything about injaculation.
Adam, injaculation.
That was the name of my last book.
Adam out's injaculation.
That's right. It was Adam on injaculation, by the way. Yes, injaculation.
You're talking about where you push on your perineum and it pushes things back into your bladder?
Yeah.
That's a retrograde
ejaculation. I've not read anything about it being specifically harmful. I've spoken to people that do this for reasons that escape me. Kelly has great interest to try to understand what this is we're talking about.
Here, I'll show you.
Clueless here.
Adam,
Show me.
You don't have to use your finger. Use a Sharpie or something. You have to put pressure on the, is it the perineum?
Underneath, yeah.
Is that that area there? Jesus Christ, I'm turning into a doctor. Yeah. I swear to God, I'm ready to open my own practice and forget
you
this
show.
You
could be on ER, too.
I really could. It's like, we got a problem with retrograde ejaculation. He apparently put too much pressure on the perineum. Okay.
Nice.
Let's put the card on his nuts, Dad. Get the paddles
out. Put the card on his nuts, Dad.
Give me D5W and lactate ringers. All right. So you take this area between what I like to say is scrotumburg and anusville, right? Right on the border there. And right when you're ready to ejaculate.
That's where the tracks between, isn't it?
Yeah. If there were railroad tracks running right across scrotumburg and anusville, you put your finger down there and you press on it there right as you're about to ejaculate, and instead of coming out, it goes back in you.
What's the point?
Good question.
No idea. You get an extra
where does it
three
go?
Wearings
goes
out of your jammies bladder. Before you got to wash them.
Goes into your bladder.
It goes into your bladder.
Yeah.
What does it do there?
So it's not harmful to your knowledge?
No, I've not heard of it being harmful. It doesn't. Whenever you sort of keep things back that are reflexively coming out,
yeah,
your body doesn't like it. Like yeah. Sneezing or coughing or throwing up, whatever it is, it has consequence. So I don't know, I have not heard of any specifically, but it concerns me.
Okay.
And by the way, what for? Why bother?
Someone told me that athletes do it because there's protein in it, but that's why I wanted to
I can answer that one. That's BS.
Okay.
Yeah. Protein in it. What the hell is putting protein in your bladder?
I don't know.
Your bladder is not a particularly resorptive epithelium, you see.
Plus, how about just taking a thimbleful of peanut butter and making it up that way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go to Jamba Juice.
Let's see. Here's the choice. Jack off in your own ass or take the fingernail full of Skippy. Huh. Let's see now. Hold on. I'm thinking. Drew's really going tonight, everybody. All right. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll come back after this. Yep. Love line. I'm Adam. That is Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Kelly Martin is our guest tonight. Mm-hmm. She's not here to plug ER Thursday nights NBC 10 o'clock. She's here because she cares.
Yeah.
That's right. Fourth year med student, by the way. Not in real life. But I hear off to Yale.
She finished. We're almost finished.
I have a year left. I'm just there forever, students. I'm an art history major there. I don't do anything medical there.
Right. Well, why bother with the education? You got the money.
Screw it.
What kind of art history in particular?
20th century photography.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
My obsession.
That's great. Tomorrow, lecture on Ansel Adams. Tuesday, Ansel Adams. Wednesday. How about Ansel Adams for a while?
It's the only one I can think of.
That's right. Carol?
Yes.
You're 27.
That's right.
What's up?
I've been married for 6 years together with my husband for 11. And he was very interested in threesomes and different sexual stuff. So
like
I went
what else?
And did it with him, the threesome. But
how long did you say you've been with your husband?
11 years.
11 years.
And how long did it take before he talked you into this?
Just did it last year.
10 years.
10 years. And what other weird stuff? You said he was into other things?
Oh no, just different having different sexual partners. Like he would be all into group sex if I would do that, but.
Right.
And so you wisely sort of held back on that issue.
Yes, I did.
Until he got you to do it, and
yes.
now what are the consequences?
Well, with one particular person, it was incredible sex.
For
and
who?
So now I've since kind of have an interest in this person.
Girl or guy?
Guy.
In what way was it incredible? What does that mean?
Just very good sex, I guess. I've only been with my husband, so.
So just the fact that there's another person is already sort of alluring to you.
Yeah, it wasn't really that I was into the whole three people being there.
What was it about this guy that was so appealing to you?
I don't know. We just have some sort of, I guess, connection there. I've known the person a long time.
Well, it was jizmet.
It was what?
I'm just cracking me and Drew up tonight.
So now I'm not sure if I did.
All right, so I'll settle down now. You had a threesome, but this was your husband, another guy, and you.
Correct.
And how did you know, or how did your husband find the other guy?
We've been friends with this person.
Okay, so it's a friend of yours.
Yeah.
And you had sex with him and your husband watched while he had sex with you?
Actually, I didn't really have, intercourse with
him.
This person on that time, on that occasion. That was like separate occasion without my husband.
You think, let me explain the concept of the threesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not in order to do it mathematically at a later date where it's like, well, I bang you and then my cousin bangs you and then I do you on a Wednesday and then he does you on a Saturday, but you combine the 2 days.
That's three.
You got a real orgy going on. He's got to kind of be there, you know.
Yeah, that's,
he was there the first time.
First
see.
Time and the second time.
That's why we talk about maintaining boundaries. Once boundaries are down, that's it.
This thing's a mess. I hope you don't have any kids.
No.
Oh you don't?
Phew. Now
that's it. Then it's over. Great.
It's over.
Yeah. Listen, your husband's the only guy you've ever been with, except for the guy he got to boink you. And you've known each other for 11 years, or you've been married, you've known each other for 11 years, right?
Yeah. Since you're married six.
Since you were 16 years old.
Yep.
You're both just sort of bored. You want to experiment. Fine. That's why you're not supposed to marry the person you've known since you were 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
Because you changed so much.
All right. Thank God you didn't have any kids. What? You can't. Who's sterile?
Who's what?
Someone's sterile, right?
No.
Why haven't you had kids?
Been busy.
you've taken appropriate measures.
Correct.
Okay.
Good. So maybe somewhere in your heart you knew this thing wasn't going to go on forever. Think about it.
Yeah, possibly.
If you're honest.
Well, be honest with yourself and really sort of think about that concept. I mean, these are semi-chaotic people. They've been married for 6 years. They've been knowing each other for a million. She's 27. You figure, I was expecting her to say she had five kids mm-hmm. by now. She hasn't had any and has been sort of deliberately not trying to have any. And I'm sort of get the feeling for her that even though they were married, she wasn't looking at this as sort of the big picture.
Yeah.
And all you right. didn't just have sex with someone else. It sounds like you were intimate and you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And whether... whether couples want to admit it or not, when they start talking about the threesomes and getting into the threesomes, really what they're saying is this thing's kind of run its course.
I'm checking out.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, Drew always says the threesome ruined the relationship. And it's true, it ruined the relationship sort of like the telephone pole ruined the drunk guy's car.
Right.
But ultimately... the thing was over, and that's why they decided to have the threesome.
Right.
So, in a way, it's the threesome's fault, but the threesome just sort of showed up at the right time. Right. The thing was on its way out. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Alex?
How you doing, guys?
You're 22.
Yes, sir.
Good.
All right. My question is for Dr. Drew.
Yep.
Okay. A friend of mine told me that one of his professors... actually, he asked one of his professors about the 28-day calendar, the female calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was calling to confirm that if it's true, that it works.
Well, it's better than nothing, but it is virtually nothing. It's not something that should be advocated.
What calendar is that?
You're talking about timing the intercourse?
Yeah. No.
I thought you were talking about supermodels.
Something like this, it's like the first 5 days of the period, right?
Yeah.
And you can have sex and you won't impregnate her, right?
Well, look, let me state it again.
Okay.
Trying to time intercourse with away from ovulation is treacherous and is not an effective birth control. It is a form of birth control, but it is not an effective one.
So it's not really... considered birth control, is it?
I wouldn't be in a... I think it'd be irresponsible of me to sit in a radio program and advocate that.
Who showed you?
Okay, let me put it to you this way. Okay, the first 5 days of the period, can you...
No.
Impregnate?
Yes.
No way you can impregnate
No, yes, you can.
You can?
Absolutely.
So even if she's on her period, you can impregnate her?
Yes. Some
is
women.
Is there any...
You got to really go at it, though.
Some women, sometime.
But is there any specific day or...
Yes, if you could...
All right, let me talk to this Alex. First off, this Alex sounds like Pete Puma from the Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah. I got it.
Oh, a lot of lumps.
How many lumps? One lump or two? But what are you, Alex? You've been sucking on an ether rag or something?
No, I got a sore throat.
All right. I got a stuffy nose, brother, so I'm with you. Okay. I'm with you. But here's what I'm going to say to you. There's certain times when a woman can get pregnant, and there's certain times when the chances are much higher that she can get pregnant, you know, like the middle of the month.
Uh-huh.
But it's different for every woman, and it changes, and you never know. So while the method that you're describing, there's a less likely chance of her getting pregnant, there are no guarantees, okay?
Yep.
So nothing's carved in stone. You understand? That's
yep.
why it's not a good thing to mess around with. Okay, Alex?
Yep.
All right.
Can I ask one more question?
No.
That's all right.
Goodbye.
All right. I like a guy who gives up. That was the Corolla motto. You ever see the Family Crest?
Goodbye.
Guy just sitting on the bench, shaking his head.
Holding his hands. Holding his head in his hands.
Holding his head in his hands, yeah. It's the guy who gave up. No, normally they go, I got one more question. They go, oh, no. They go, no, come on, it'll be fast. But not Alex. He's like, yeah, all right, screw it. Steve?
Yeah.
You're 25. What's going on there?
I have a question. It might be for Dr. Drew or maybe from Kelly, coming from a female's perspective. But I want to know, is it abnormal for a guy to like his anus licked? I've had different input from different peers.
Mm-hmm. By what kind of animal?
And a few people have agreed, or it's happened to them, and they said, yeah, they agree. But most guys, I guess, are homophobic or something. They think, you know, even if it's done by a female, it's kind of unusual or abnormal. And I think it feels incredibly good.
Yeah. You know,
I'd like to hear Kelly's take on it.
All right. Here she is.
Well,
take that as a no since you're laughing. But
I never really thought about it, honestly.
So you've never done it either, then, right?
No.
Okay.
Haven't.
Has it ever happened to you?
No.
Wow.
Not unless I was really drunk. I don't think so. I'm like turning over and I don't even know. If it's something that you like and the girl doesn't mind or actually likes it as well.
I'm just thinking about the first time Kelly came on the show. She was about 14 or something.
Yeah.
I awakened at just before 6 o'clock in the morning and I could feel someone holding my left foot and moving my foot very carefully. Okay.
My anus, when it's like you do with a blowjob, but it just happened a while back. I was receiving a blowjob, and after about fifth or tenth time, wherever receiving the blowjob from this girl, she kind of incidentally went a little lower. I don't know if it's on purpose or not. And you could tell from my reaction that I enjoyed it, and then
right.
She was there. And it just felt incredibly good, you know, to the point where I was, actually asking for it. If I had to choose between that and a blowjob, you know,
right.
I'd choose that. And a few guys that have admitted to it, you know, agree that, you know, and I've heard medically speaking, maybe Dr. Drew can touch on this, that you're, the reason why I feel so good is the male's prostate glands.
No.
Let's talk to Drew. Touch on the anus for a moment.
No, thank
if you.
If
you could.
No medical reason for this. There's no specific explanation for that.
So, with my butt.
Other than that, his unique anatomy is something that responds to this. That's all.
I got